Karen, good morning. Let's talk first about the victory in the state's attorney's race. Eileen Burke, the former prosecutor, law division judge, and appellate court justice, was elected. How will her background make a difference in how she runs the office, do you think?
Well, I think she's got a great background. As you said, she was a trial attorney, which means she heard cases directly, and then she went on the appellate court and dealt with issues on a higher level from the legislative standpoint almost to determine whether things were unconstitutional or wrong. She was a defense lawyer, too, so she was on that side, and she comes from a family of law enforcement. So I think all of those things really make her a good candidate for the office. I think she's going to change some things around. I think she's going to try to correct the morale in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. It has 700 lawyers. There was a huge people were leaving that office because of the lack of morale. So I think she's going to really try to recruit good people and train them and keep them there, and I think that's going to be good for the office.
She did embrace many of the positions that Kim Fox championed, didn't she? Like the elimination of cash bail in Illinois.
Yeah, she's on board with it, and she said that we're going to follow it. Where she said she's going to do some studies to show, you know, whether or not it is working, especially for gun crimes. And one of the things she did say about it is that she would like to make certain crimes detainable, meaning that it would be mandatory detainment if there was a certain crime, usually with a gun. I think that's what she's aiming at. And that makes sense, in a way, because bail, again, doesn't really mean that you're releasing people who are dangerous. It just means that you're putting a condition on it. So what she's saying is that if someone commits a crime with a gun, especially an assault rifle or an illegal gun, then she's going to advocate for mandatory detention.
Let's talk about Donald Trump now and what happens as far as the legal cases that he's been involved in. First of all, the felony conviction for the hush money. What will happen to that case now that he has been reelected?
Yeah, each of these cases has a whole separate slew of considerations now that he's going to be president again. And the hush money case was a state case, so it can't be pardoned by the federal government. So that's where he had the 34 felonies. Now there's going to be appeals and different things going on, but apparently the sentencing is November 26th. And again, the judge has a lot of different things that he can do. He can sentence him to prison time, you know, he could sentence him to community service, all kinds of things. Again, it could also be stayed pending the idea that he's going to be president and then he would serve whatever sentence or take whatever punishment after he serves as president.
Can he pardon himself?
Not in that case, because it's a state case. And remember, the governor can pardon you in a state case. Some of these cases that he's involved in from a criminal standpoint are federal, and in those cases, he could conceivably pardon himself. Again, the scholars are all over the place about whether a president can pardon himself, but certainly Donald Trump will try to do that.
The election interference case, that's a state case too, Georgia, correct?
Right. And that case is a big mess because it's up on appeal on the issue of whether the state's attorney can proceed on that matter. There were several defendants who pled guilty in that. But again, you know, this is a case where he can't pardon himself, but there are still going to be delays here on this case getting going forward. And my guess is that once Donald Trump is in office, there's going to be a very strong argument that you can't try a sitting president. It's too distracting. And with our Supreme Court, the way it's wired, I think the Supreme Court would agree with that.
The federal classified documents case was already put aside, wasn't it?
It was. The judge dismissed the case, saying that the appointment of a special prosecutor was inappropriate. So that's up on appeal. There's no question that that case is going to go away because all Donald Trump is going to have to do is say, "All right, Smith, you're dismissed," and instruct his Department of Justice probably to have the case dismissed. So that one is probably going to be gone.
What about the civil case, the $478 million civil judgment in New York? And that money is still growing every day, isn't it? Will that be affected?
Yeah, it's growing at $111,000 a day. No, I don't think it's going to be affected. It's a civil judgment. It has nothing to do with him in office. There's nothing left for him to do. There's not going to be a trial on it. It's already happened. My guess is that somebody's going to help him pay that off and just get that out of his sights. But yeah, that should not be affected at all.
There was a judgment of, $88 million in the Jean Carroll sexual assault defamation case. Is that judgment going to be affected at all now?
I don't see that judgment being affected at all. Again, it's a civil matter, and it's now just a matter of enforcement. Again, that's up on appeal, and there's all kinds of appeals that are going on. But I don't think that should affect anything now that he's going to be president again.
And in New York, can that lawsuit brought by the Central Park Five, who were convicted of rape and exonerated, still proceed while Donald Trump is president? He was sued for defamation.
Yeah, that should proceed. And the reason I'm saying that is because when Bill Clinton was sued by Paula Jones while he was president, that case was allowed to proceed. And so there's precedent that a civil action that is ongoing can proceed when a person is president. So I think we'll see that continue if it's not dismissed at the beginning of the case.
And what's ahead for the Supreme Court now, do you think?
Well, this is interesting, and it's going to probably take some political analysis, too, but you know, it looks like the Republicans have taken over the Senate. As we know, the Senate has a lot to do with the appointments for Supreme Court justices. We have Clarence Thomas, who's 76 years old, Alito is 74, Sotomayor is 70, and Roberts is 69. And if any of those people decide to step down, then Donald Trump is going to have the ability to appoint a conservative justice to replace those people. Now, I don't think Clarence Thomas or Alito are ready to step down. In fact, they've made comments that they aren't, but you never know what's going to happen in the political realm here.
Will the Supreme Court ruling on presidential immunity be challenged in any way, or is that pretty much cast in stone now going forward?
That's cast in stone, you know, unless we get a new Supreme Court and there's a new case that goes up the system and gets decided, that's precedent. But again, Roe versus Wade was precedent for 50 years. So, yeah. You know, you just never know.
And these are exciting, interesting times. It's Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Thank you, Karen. Have a good day.